Revival, returning to a previous, more alive state. God doesn't send revival. We must come to it. The Spirit of God is the river of the water of life that is always flowing. He is the fountain that is always gushing the water of life. Whenever we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we are filled, Matthew 5 and 6. When we draw near to God, He draws near to us, James 4, 8. When we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. When we knock, it is open to us, Matthew 7, 7. So, the ball is in our court. I can be revived if I want to be. My church can be revived if we want to be. My community can be revived if we want to be. My country can be revived if we want to be. God never loses interest in us. 1 Corinthians 13:8. But we can lose interest in Him. Revelation 3:16. Most Christians never advance to walking by faith in the Spirit. Once a person chooses this walk, they never need revival. They live in the source of revival. Galatians 5:16. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. John 20:22. Be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Under grace, we get what we want by asking in heartfelt faith. The truth is that people don't want revival because they don't see the need for it. This indicates a relationship problem. A common complaint by married women is, we never do anything together anymore. This is because their relationship has cooled off. The husband has found other things that occupy his mind and his time. This is where the church is. We still come home at night and pass a few words to our spouse, Christ, but we're really preoccupied with other things. What is the solution to this problem? Only the truth sets us free from bondage. We can only preach the word which emphasizes the value of being in relationship with God. The word puts our life in context. Walking by sight produces death. Walking by faith produces life. We must trust the power of the word and the Spirit, realizing that God forces Himself on no one, and neither should we. This passage from Revelation 3:17-18 is Christ's message to the church about revival. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Revelation 3:17-18. Everyone in need of reviving will eventually hit the wall. They will encounter a situation which will bring them back into a healthy relationship with the Lord. We focused on converts, which are important. But a convert that does not become a disciple will need reviving periodically. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Matthew 28:19-20. When a person is taught to observe everything Christ has commanded, and that includes the revelation of the gospel of Christ in the New Testament, they will either turn away or become a disciple. Those who reject being a disciple will need reviving periodically because they've chosen a powerless life rather than the abundant life that is found in intimate relationship with Christ. Christ means anointing. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. He is God. God is in us waiting for us to explore Him and unpack His power to change our lives. And through us, the lives of others. If we do not explore Him, we neither manifest the fruit of the gifts, fruit or the gifts that He brings to us. Leviticus 26, 6 through 8, "And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." I was a teenager during the 1960s and saw our country turn from God with drugs, free sex, elimination of prayer in schools, beginning to trust in government, the great society, and exaltation of agnosticism, atheism, and socialism. That's 50 years ago, and we now see the evidence of forsaking God. There is so much wickedness in our land that it boggles the mind of a person who I witnessed the fall. But this is what happens when a country gives place to the devil. The church went indoors and allowed Satan to establish a stronghold. The verses above speak to our inheritance in Christ. God didn't move. He didn't change His plan. He didn't cede what Christ won over to Satan. The church did. The promise above is still valid. We have the armor of God for battle. We have the mighty sword of the Spirit for pulling down those strongholds of spiritual wickedness. We can't chase from the huddle. We've got to come to the line of scrimmage and fire when the Spirit leads us. I'm praying for Christians everywhere to stir up the gift that is in them. The Spirit is willing. He's waiting on us. Leviticus 26:7, "And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword." The New Covenant sword is the Word of God. It is the only weapon that the Spirit uses. Know the Word and use it to cast down strongholds wherever you encounter